We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Like saving the world one soundbite at a time. A couple of texts have already popped in. The text lines are indeed open. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Jeff from Holly Pond says they arrest people all the time for child porn. What's the difference? I would agree. Now, you know, having child porn in your possession is different than, you know, just having to convince somebody that there was actually a crime involved with, you know, dancing provocatively in front of kids. But I do equate them. Grooming and child porn may be different categories, but they're both wrong. John from Harvest. Phil, another good monologue. The radicals will continue trying to get folks to deny reality to show their power. But let's all say, along with Captain Picard, that there are four lights. Keep up the good fight, John and Harvest. Thank you, man. He's a Trekkie. Hey, oh, by the way, I got to tell you some breaking news out of Montgomery. So just a little while ago, I got a text from Stephanie Smith, who is with API, the Alabama Policy Institute. And she let me know that just this morning, the Alabama House chose to non-concur with the Senate's version of the gambling bill. So you've heard us talking about it. There's ads running right now on my show and all of our stations from groups that are opposed to the gambling legislation. Here's the thing. By the way, let me just explain the process in case you didn't already know. The House passed this massive omnibus piece of gambling legislation that I'm absolutely opposed to. I don't care if you like casinos. That's not the point. I don't care if you want a lottery. That's not the point. Everything about the way that bill was structured is absolutely not what Republicans say they stand for. And I mean that with all sincerity. You go take a look at the Alabama Republican Party bylaws on the website and then start finding things in the legislation they passed in the House, and it, like, you just violated like half of them. Okay. All that to say, horrible piece of legislation. It went upstairs to the Senate. The Senate said, you know what? No, we're not doing that. We're not doing all that stuff. But they still did some stuff. I don't like the Senate bill either, but they certainly got rid of a bunch of the junk that was in the one downstairs. Not making it truly better. I guess this is one of those things where I would say maybe they made a bad bill better. But nonetheless, they substituted it completely, made a different, you know, wholly different type of gambling piece of legislation, sent it back down to the House. Now what happens? Now you got one version that passed in the House, a separate version passed in the Senate. They do not jibe. What do? They had a choice downstairs in the House. They could go, okay, we concur, and just like acquiesce to what the Senate wanted. A lot of times you do that, especially if the changes were trivial or somebody added a friendly amendment upstairs that no one else had thought about before that point. I get it. Not in this case. I had a feeling they would non-concur, and they did. So they did what we slang called it down in Montgomery, taking it out of the basket where it had sat, you know, unassigned to any committee or otherwise, not committee, but to conference. And they brought it out on the floor. And I can tell they had already planned it. They knew what they were going to do. The House voted to non-concur. That means we don't like your Senate version. So let's see if we can get our heads together and make something happen. So here's what they did. They assigned it to a conference committee. I know that we have three members of the House that are now currently on that conference committee. And we don't know who the Senate's going to send yet. But it's going to be this conference committee's job to see if they can find some common ground. Now, these bills are so vastly different that I just don't know. I just don't know. And my hope is that the Senate is going to go ahead and say, no, we're not putting Medicaid expansion. We're not going to give, you know, something good to all the bad guys. We're not going to expand casinos all over the state. I hope that's the case. I hope it dies in a pile. Either way, it just made a step towards potential passage. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, y'all. I'm talking about Alabama. Yeah. Like, I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. I am in number one of the Triple Dipper, race baiters and charlatans. So it drives me crazy It seems like there's got to have to be a racial component to almost everything that liberals do. And that just drives me nuts. I mean, they can be pursuing their green agenda, and it's all based on somehow tied to racism. They can also claim that, you know, roads are racist, some of which I find to be incredibly insulting. I'll get to that in a minute. And then I can also see there are charlatans. They are the people who will try to tell you that what you really need or want is this, even though it costs you more, you know you need it, and we're going to make sure you have it, and we're going to provide you all the things. Oh, by the way, it's going to cost you a lot of money, but don't pay any attention to that, charlatans. Anyway, classic example. Story came out yesterday. Yeah. On Good Friday this past week. Did you know the EPA passed a major new regulation that will impact your economy? Of course you didn't. It was Good Friday. Most of us weren't paying attention. So yeah, just literally less than a week ago, the EPA decided it was going to come for our diesel-powered trucks. No kidding. Well, just a week before that, they said they were coming for our cars. So practically everything that the American, you know, economy uses travels by truck. Story here on the Daily Signal. It says the EPA has now passed a new rule as of this past Good Friday, requiring that 25% of all truck sales will be electric by 2032. Are you hearing what I'm saying? 25%, one-fourth of all truck sales will be electric in the next 8 years. Awesome. This is going to be great, man. Loving it. Just get in there and, you know, make a fictitious economy. Real, not real, is where we are again. Says America does not have the electrical grid capacity, the charging stations, or the technology to operate long-haul electric trucks, and the nation won't have them by 2032. Here's what they're going to do. What they're banking on, literally, what they're banking on is Biden getting reelected so they can say, well, we have a mandate, now we got to fund it. And we'll have another $1 trillion expenditure. And by the way, they've been doing that already, right? Where's all the charging stations? Do you see them yet? Of course you don't. They have got plans to roll out like 7,500 charging stations nationwide. How many have they put out? Like about a dozen. Trucking and utility companies, according to this article, it says, would have to invest almost $1 trillion in charging infrastructure before their electric trucks could even be operational. Are you hearing that? Private companies are going to wind up having to invest upwards of it. So what they're doing is they're not only going to wind up getting to the point that they need more of your tax dollars, they're also going to make sure that the people who run that part of the economy have to spend more out of their pocket to even get the ability to, you know, accomplish the goals. So if it's going to cost $1 trillion out of pocket and probably $1 trillion of tax money, why are we mandating do it in 8 years? If you have a lofty, worthy goal, don't you recognize that at some point it's going to take a little time to get there? Well, Phil, we have to put our pedal to the metal here. Okay, it's not working out, though. The electric truck rule, it says, follows regulations that came out last month that would require 70% of all cars and light trucks to be electric by 2032. 70%. Y'all, I'm not kidding. These charlatans, they do not care that what they're talking. They are absolute fakers. This is like, you know, pay no attention to the rabbit in the hat. By electrifying trucks, it says in the article, it would have minimal effect on global temperatures, but it would also raise transportation costs and therefore inflation. A diesel truck right now costs about $120,000 on the average. This, we're talking about over-the-road, you know, shipping trucks. An electric truck costs in the range of $450,000 to $500,000. Do you see the difference? Trucking companies would then have to raise their prices to cover the costs, and a small trucking company couldn't afford those costs would likely go out of business. So what we're talking about doing is gerrymandering the economy to fit an agenda. These charlatans, they have no shame whatsoever. They are snake oil salesmen, y'all. Electric trucks also now have a range of about 230 to 310 miles. Generally, they have to stop and recharge when the battery reaches roughly 20%. Truckers would have to recharge every 180 to 250 miles on the average then, which could take 1 to 2 hours just to recharge, meaning the trips are going to take longer. Goods take longer. What? This is EPA's massive project to reshape America's transportation system would lower economic growth, increase the budget deficit as manufacturers attempt to comply with regulations. Okay. Let me just Just point something out. What you got?
I was just thinking, well, what's the deal with solar-powered cars?
Do you have a solar-powered car
in mind? I'm just saying it would work, though.
I just don't think there's one out there that's viable, dude.
It wouldn't make any money.
No, you wouldn't, because then you couldn't have a charging station. But no, there's no solar-powered car that's going to do that right now.
No.
There's nothing. I mean, they're asking for things that we barely have the technology for, and they want it all in place in 8 years. What they're counting on is at least 4 of those years being the next Biden administration. That's what they're counting on. So that means they could fund it, and that way, once it's fully committed and they've geared the economy by regulation and by spending your money, now you got to follow through. And so even if they only make it 4 years and don't have another Democrat come into office afterwards, they're gonna say, well, we got to stick with it. Pete Buttigieg is among the worst. He is the race baiter and charlatan par excellence. He is the man who is not afraid to do things like, oh, I don't know, stop about a block away and get out of his gas-powered vehicle and pull a bicycle out of the back and ride up to the presentation to pretend that he does that kind of thing all the time. It's really silly. Fortune magazine has an article. It's a rather forgiving article for him. Fortune magazine has an article came out in January. Says the Biden administration is awarding $623 million in grants to help build electric vehicle charging networks across the nation. $623 million of your dollars. By the way, what boggles my mind is how often people look at that and go, that's 600. Man, the government's paying for it. Where do they think the government got the money? I mean, where do you think that comes from? Grants are being announced that will fund 47. Oh, good, 47. EV charging stations and related projects in 22 states and Puerto Rico, including 7,500 EV charging ports. We now have a chance, says Pete Buttigieg. We have a chance to lead the world in the EV revolution. Charlatan. This guy, by the way, if you've ever seen the movie Outlaw Josey Wales, remember the snake oil salesman? Yeah, that's him. That's him. That's Petey. Pete Buttigieg says, we have a chance to lead the world in the EV revolution, securing jobs, savings, and benefits for Americans in the process. The new funding will help ensure that EV chargers are accessible, reliable, and convenient for American drivers while creating jobs in charger manufacturing, installation, and maintenance for American workers. It's a fake economy. I don't know how many times I can say this. It's a fake economy. So let's say Big Rig and I are sitting here and he says he's hungry. And I hand him $20. If he wasn't going to go out and buy a burger because he didn't have any money with him at the time, but then I gave him $20, did he put the money in the economy? Yes, he did. Would he have been able to spend it without my $20? No. And then you have to look at that and go, I fed him for a day, but did I change his life? No. And did I also create a fake momentary economy? Yes, I did. That's what they're doing here. They're taking money from one place, you and I, and they're putting it into grants to build something that we're really not ready for, so they're paying for it and subsidizing it and creating it out of thin air. They're charlatans. They're carpetbaggers. They're trying to tell you that the world is one thing, real, not real, and it's another. And by the way, I do not mind electric vehicles. By the way, don't take this as a war on electric vehicles. I don't care. If you want an EV, go buy one. Awesome. Go do it. Charlene and I went on a trip together, I guess it's been a couple of years back, and we called an Uber, and it turned out to be a Tesla, and we just remarked at how quiet it was, what cool styling it had. I'm not going to lie, it was a cool vehicle. We talked to the guy about doing his Uber. He says, yeah. I go home every night. I make money driving my Uber, and I go home and put it on the charge, and the next day I go back to work. Okay, cool. Well, that works when you're just driving around downtown Savannah. But if you got to make a trip, if you're a commuter, if you're going to be over the road, man, if you can't see past the horizon where you got to go, I'm just saying, EVs start losing their luster at that point, and the economy is not ready for it. So how about we let it develop? And my example will remain the cell phone. I said it yesterday. I've said it before. You had landline phones, and you still have landline phones in some places. We got landline phones right here in the studio. We got landline phones in my law firm. There's a lot of houses still have a landline phone. Cool. But guess what? A lot of them have moved to cell phones. Cell phones used to be this thing that was a total novelty. And then it was like portable. You could put it in a bag and carry it with you, but you didn't leave it out in your car. Somebody might steal it. And then you had to have an antenna that was mounted to your car with a special plug-in that you had to use. And then it got a little smaller. And then the networks grew. And then you'd have to say, I'm near a tower, but I'm about to lose my signal. I'll call you back if I lose you. Now you don't have to do that very often. Why? Because they've improved. And they've improved to the point that pretty much everybody has one. In fact, if you don't have a cell phone, people wonder what's wrong with you. Did it get that way overnight? Nope. Did it get that way because the government forced it? Nope. It got that way because it became the better mousetrap. Got that way because the free market kicked in. And people began to realize, if I make a good one, somebody's going to buy it. And then somebody else says, man, they're buying all that stuff. I got to make something too. And then the accessory market kicked in. And then the aftermarket kicked in. And then all the things you want and the apps and everything else, all of it kicked in. And oh my gosh, now you can do your... I do as much work on my phone as I do on my home computer. That is the natural market. What we're seeing right now with EVs, these charlatans are coming in here and telling you, here's how it's going to be. We're going to regulate. We're going to regulate and force it. We're going to put that square peg in a round hole. Oh, it won't fit? Okay, we'll shave the corners off and shove that sucker in there. That's what they're doing. And we're going to, you don't have, okay, we can't sustain this. Okay, we'll pay for it. We'll pay for it. Why are you doing that? Well, we want to get it out there. Why are you paying for it? It'll get there eventually. No, we got to have it now. Charlatans. Progress on the network, according to Fortune magazine, has been slow. You think? Ohio and New York are the only states that have opened charging stations under the new National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Program. Several other states like Pennsylvania and Maine have broken ground, but it's kind of slow. Buttigieg and other administration officials have brushed aside concerns about the future of auto travel being electric. Even though 80% of respondents in a recent major poll cited their concerns about the lack of charging stations. Even though 7 out of 10 said they would not purchase an EV because they take too long to charge and they don't believe technology is ready. Buttigieg is going to tell you why you need to have one. He cited a new study saying EVs only cost 4% more than gasoline-powered cars. You know why? Because the government's subsidizing it. And if those tax credits and subsidies go away, guess how much they cost? A lot more. All right, race baiters and charlatans, you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back from this break. Man, the text messages came bombing in while I was... Good Lord. All right, Phil Williams... Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. Just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, listen, so I'm in number one of the triple dipper. I haven't even gotten to the race baiting side of things. I'm still on the charlatan side. Sometimes they coincide. I got a ton of text messages that have just like come just dropping in. So I will be getting to those here momentarily. But let me hit a few more marks on this. Story here on Daily Wire. I don't know if you heard this or not, but... What irritates me is, you know, charlatans, and I really like my analogy now of the snake oil salesman from the Outlaw Josie Wales. Some of y'all are out there and you can picture him in your head. He wore his fancy suit. He talked down to people. He was condescending. He tried to tell them why they need to drink his snake oil. It would make everything better. And when you know, Chief Dan George's character, Lone Waddy, when he didn't want it and said, you drink it, he goes, what does he know? He's a savage. I mean, that's what they think of us. Why do I say that? Because, again, Pete Buttigieg is the snake oil salesman. Story here on Daily Wire, Dateline yesterday. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg mocked Americans this week who do not wish to purchase electric vehicles. Mocked them. Mocked us. Mocked me. Comparing them to people who thought in the 2000s that there would only be landline phones. Well, nobody thought that. We were already using cordless phones, and we could see, you know, where cell phones were going, but we weren't there yet. Buttigieg made the remarks during a Tuesday Fox News interview on America's Newsroom. He was asked about falling sales for electric vehicles, and I think it was John Roberts who asked him from Fox. EV sales are nowhere near what the president wanted or expected yet. The administration continues to shove them down consumers' throats. Why? Great question. The response is that it's clear. That's the word in quotations. It's clear that consumers want to purchase EVs. No, actually, it's not. Some do, some don't. But you can't say, consumers really want to. No. He was dismissive of the numbers showing that the market is trending away from their goals. And he said this. Let's be clear. The automotive sector is moving towards EVs, and we can't pretend otherwise. Jeez. Sometimes when these debates happen, says Buttigieg, I feel like it's the early 2000s, and I'm talking to some people who think we can just have landline phones forever. Well, I've still got a landline phone in the studio, so landline phones are still around, but what does that got to do with cars? Because here's the thing. Nobody forced landline phones to become less of a thing. The market did its work on its own. It was a free market development. This is entirely different. This charlatan is trying to pretend, they really want it. Everybody really wants this. Do they? Do they really? How about this? Here's a story that just kind of wraps this up. Dateline, yesterday. Daily Mail. Is this the end of the EV? That's a little bit broad. As Tesla and BYD, which is a Chinese company's car sales plummet, and Apple pulls the plug on its e-car projects, has the boom in electric vehicles finally short-circuited? Great headline, though. Tesla and Chinese competitor BYD, that's BYD, have both reported a plummet in their sales in a further signal that the electric car industry is flailing. The two firms are the two of the biggest sellers of EVs worldwide. They have been forced to drop their prices. It comes after car makers like from Mercedes-Benz to Ford have announced they are delaying or scrapping further electric vehicle production as demand is slowing. Tesla has reported a plummet in their sales in a further signal the electric car industry is flailing. Apple has canceled work on an electric car project that they dubbed the Titan. Aston Martin delayed the launch of its first battery-powered vehicle. Mercedes-Benz says it will delay its electrification goals. Ford says it's rethinking its EV strategies. Volkswagen delayed the launch of a new EV. And in recent months, Audi and General Motors have also reviewed their own EV rollouts with scrutiny. Wow. Sounds like everybody wants an EV right now, right? Now listen. The niche market will wind up growing into the full market as the market catches up with demand. But when you demand, that's what they're doing. When you demand where demand does not otherwise exist, and then try to subsidize it to pretend it's real, you get the false economy, and now we're seeing the bubble starting to burst.
The thing that scares me the most.
Yeah, what's that?
Is regulation.
Oh, yeah.
On the EVs.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to eventually, like, think about the internet. You know, they have different plans for, you know, how many megabytes you can have on your plan and all this.
Yeah.
You know, they're charging you for internet, cloud storage, and all this other stuff. Well, they're going to do the same thing with electric cars. They're going to tell you how fast you can charge it, how much power,
ooh,
all that stuff.
Regulate and, your household.
Yeah, it's going to cost you more money. Say you want to charge faster. Okay, yeah, 20 more bucks. You can charge faster.
I'll go one step further. You know what they proposed in California?
What's that?
That when the grid gets strained by, like, say, hot weather, you know, air conditioners are running, everything else, that they can come back in. They can come in through the backside of your charger and draw power out to help sustain the grid. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, we're going to come back, and I'm going to switch over to the race baiters part. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all of the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. I am still in dipper number one, race baiters and charlatans. I'm about to take a call, but let me just tell you real quickly. One of the race baiter pieces that I'm talking about is this very thing. Happened yesterday, in Alabama. Because here I've been saying all along that the snake oil salesman in this whole process, the charlatan who wants to sell you something you don't need or necessarily even want, is none other than Secretary of Transportation Buttigieg, who was in Birmingham yesterday. U.S. Department of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg stood out in the middle of 4th Avenue North in Birmingham on Wednesday morning to talk about federal funding to turn the one-way street into a two-way street to restore a sense of community, because this is a part of the racist roads, you know, reclamation. The construction of Interstate 65 back in the 60s, according to the story here on AL.com, turned 4th Avenue North into a one-way street, disrupted the community, created barriers that kept people apart, disproportionately affecting black neighborhoods and the historic black business district. He said it would be foolish to characterize this as a coincidence, says Buttigieg. It's about better infrastructure. It's about putting right things that have been done wrong in the past. Mayor Randall Woodfin, Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin, announced last month the city had indeed been awarded a grant of $14.5 million to turn a one-way street to a two-way street, because that certainly will fight racism. This is so insulting. The implication here is black people don't know how to turn around the block and go the other direction. That's what they're saying. Got to make it a two-way street in order to recoup that racism. This is like when they say black people don't know how to go get a photo ID to vote. How insulting is that? It's absolutely asinine to take that stance. Listen, I'm going to take a call real quick. Jeffro from Indiana is on the line. Jeffro, how you doing, man?
You know, Buttigieg is a Hoosier. We'd gladly give him over to you if you want to claim him.
Well, Mayor Pete's been down here twice in the last year, so maybe he just wants to be a part of us. I don't know.
We're so proud of him. Oh my God.
Was he South Bend? Is that where he's from?
Yeah, somewhere up north there, you know. Close to Chicago and Gary, so that kind of says it all.
Oh my gosh. you have inflicted the nation with him. But well, what do you think, man? Is he a snake oil? Did you ever see, by the way, you've seen the outlaw Josie Wales, haven't you?
Oh yeah.
Don't you think Pete Buttigieg is the snake oil salesman?
I don't even know if he knows what snake oil even is. He's just coming out there and telling what they tell him to say.
Oh my gosh!
He knows as much about transportation as Lord. I don't know who would be dumb enough to fit in that category.
It's amazing to me the level to which he will try to pretend he's got a good thing going on. Sales are plummeting. The false market they're creating is having trouble. They're not getting the new infrastructure built, but they're still going to say, we're going to have it all done in 8 years. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And you're going to be driving an electric truck.
Well, let me clue you in. The only way that this is going to happen is, as far as I can tell with my little high school educated brain here, I'm not up to snuff like all these higher class people that went to Harvard and stuff, trying to figure all this electric stuff out. But the only way I can see this working is if you want big rigs to be electrified, you're going to have to use old world technology. Do you have slot cars when you use the kids, Phil?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the only way this is going to work out. You're going to have to take the interstates. And you're going to have to electrify the grid. You're going to have an overhead grid or beneath the road surface grid. And they're going to have smaller batteries that they can charge while going down the road and then supply the power for long hauls. And then when they get off the grid, they have battery backup to take them to their destinations and then drop it off. So how much copper and how much fossil fuel energy, because there's no way that wind and solar is going to power all these grids, do you think it's going to have?
It's nuts to even think about, but yes, you're right. It's going to be like the subway systems where you just don't touch the third rail.
I think that rail's already been touched.
can you imagine how many fried possums is going to be on the side of the road if we go down that route?
I love possums. I used to have one.
Of course he does. He likes gas station fish.
Hey, I got a gas station cheeseburger today. Thank you.
Well, all right. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Get you. I'll be honest. I did eat some boiled eggs at a gas station one time, and later on, I thought, "What did you just do?" But all right. Well, Jeff, listen, so you're not driving, you're still driving your diesel. You're not converting to electric yet. And you believe that we have to go ahead and make slot cars to make this happen.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. That's the only thing you can come up with, because charging would take too long. And look how many batteries, of the millions of trucks in the United States, minerals and everything is going to take to make millions of batteries just for trucks alone. And then they don't last that long either. So
no, and then
it's going to be a big problem.
And then the second big problem is, how do you dispose of them when they're worn out? Because then you've got all those hazardous chemicals or hazardous materials. It's a nut roll, man.
Make good money.
All right. Hey, listen, brother.
Make good money disposing.
I'm going to let you go. I got to finish this thing up, but you be safe on the road, all right?
Thank you, Phil. Have a good one.
All right. We'll see you. And, hey, just walking in the studio, Butters. is here.
What's going on?
How you doing, man?
I had to come read my own text. So
well, I just saw a minute ago, I was looking at all the text messages, and I went, well, there's Butters has texted in, and then you walked in the door right after that. So good looking hat, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm excited about the value of my gas burning truck going up. If they're going to make all these EVs mandated,
there's going to be such a contraband market out there. Hey, buddy, how much for a gallon of gas? See me in the alley. I'll square you away.
I'm thinking one of those like 80s model big old Blazers, the big square pickups with a small block 350, like no electronics.
Come on, give me a 78 Ford Bronco.
Yeah.
Put on a Mad Max gas tank. Just keep going.
I mean, an underground economy will come out of all of this if they keep going down that road.
It's going to be Mad Max. That's what's going to happen. It's about the oil.
Mm.
2 days ago, I saw a rig that would hold that tanker. You want to get out of here? You talk to me.
Man, you were drumming up all the old references.
I can quote some old movies. All right, I'll tell you what. Do I want to go down race baiters and charlatans? I think I've pretty much covered it. I will say this. There is an article on USA Today that absolutely dated a couple of weeks, about a month ago, talks about how racist roads have got to be corrected because they were such a blight on our society and how much they hurt, you know, minority communities. And I look at it and I think, you know, I'm not going to say that there were not times when that happened. But I am going to say this, going back now and undoing infrastructure, because in your minds, no one is able to cross the road because of their skin color, is the most insulting thing I have ever heard. $14.5 million had to come from Washington, D.C. for the city of Birmingham to figure out how to make a two-way road. A two-way road, which is not going to change anybody's life. And really, what is it they're doing? You can make it a two-way road without having to have $14 million and the Secretary of the Department of Transportation fly in to tell you how great it is. But if you're selling snake oil, that's what has to happen. Let me take some text messages before I run out of time. I'll get a few of those now and some more after the break. Bert from Owens Crossroads says EVs should be made to recharge from solar or wind sources only. Okay, I'm of the mind. Now, Big Rig alluded to this a while ago. I'm of the mind you put a solar panel on the roof and maybe a little wind turbine like hood scoop, and you're charging as you go. Why can't that work? I don't know.
It can.
I think it can.
They can't monetize it, though.
Oh, dang.
So that's why. That's why it doesn't exist.
You just went there.
You can run a car on vegetable oil.
You're exactly right.
But
that's why
can't monetize it.
That's why we have to have the medical cannabis laws so they can have their billion-dollar industry, because as soon as they legalize it, people are growing it in their backyards.
Exactly.
Yeah, not that I want that. David from Athens says, Phil, I think our military has the answer. Why not put a small nuclear generator in those big rigs and let them generate their own electricity for power? You know, if the day comes that we can do like Back to the Future, Mr. Fusion on the back of your car, all you got to do is throw in your trash and it just keeps going, I say go for it, man. But I'm pretty sure that's going to wind up being a, free market thing. He also says, Phil, they've installed 6 EV chargers here at Bucky's a few months ago, but as of now, they are not charging EVs. Think it could be an infrastructure issue? Yes, I do. Duff from Huntsville says, my brother lives in the Philippines. In the Philippines, most vehicles run on diesel. Ford, Toyota, Nissan have a totally different line of vehicles over there than they sell here in the U.S. They're not worried about electric vehicles one bit because it's not going to happen. Ford makes a midsize sedan that's not available in the U.S., and I would love to have. I know. In fact, the Hilux truck, if you're overseas, the most ubiquitous vehicle on the far side of the world is a Toyota Corolla or a Hilux truck. When I was in Afghanistan, I kid you not, I was on a small special ops team. We drove civilian vehicles. We could break down in the most remote village in the middle of nowhere in a Toyota truck and find an alternator or something we needed in the bazaar. It was absolutely uncanny.
And none of the emissions, extra stuff that causes our engines problems, you're not going to find that in a lot of other places on this planet.
Catalytic converters and rev limiters and governors on your engine. No.
Yeah.
No.
Everybody's running diesel vehicles all over the world at super efficient, 35 miles. It's crazy.
It boggles the mind. Badger from Athens says hydrogen electric hybrid. Okay. You know what though? Hybrid kind of makes sense to me. If you're worried about the charge, you still got the ability for the engine to kick over into its, you know, fuel burning capacity. I get that. I get that a whole lot more than going, we're all going EV. Anyway, Gary from Decatur, I don't think they care about the charging of EVs. The real danger would be the control they have over your life, a.k.a. what Big Rig said, by just cutting the amount of electrical power you'll be allowed. You said that.
That's exactly what I said. That's the scariest thing about it to me.
Yeah. And then let's say this. All EVs now have to be made a certain way so their chargers can be turned off remotely. We've already seen that with thermostats. Yeah. I mean, like half the grid in Denver was shocked when they came home and found out they couldn't turn on their air conditioning during a heat wave because they had agreed to have a quote-unquote smart thermostat, and the central power system decided, we need to lower the strain on the grid, and they shut off everybody's air conditioning.
I think there's still a pretty good black market for the old school toilets that were large capacity flush. You know, that was when they forced that down our throats.
We're running long here. I just realized. Did you ever see the whole episode of Last Man Standing on the light bulbs? Hey, I heard so-and-so's got a whole case of light bulbs. But I do recall you telling me your mom's retirement plan is a case of light bulbs.
Oh, yeah. That's my inheritance.
Take us to a break, Big Rig. We ran long, brother. We'll come right back, take a few more text messages. Coming up, bottom of the hour, Butters and Lee. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Here's a text message from Butters. Butters said to me earlier, 25% electric trucks, they just increased the value of my gas burner. Thank you, EPA. I'm going to turn to my right and say, you're correct. Clay from Madison says, I think they should do electric planes, and all the Democrats are the first ones to fly commercial with electric planes. I like it, Clay. I like it a lot. Mike, GHS, class of 83, my class. Thank you very much. Mike, by the way, I'm still jealous over the vehicles you have in your garage. Mike's got some great gas-burning vehicles in his garage. Mike, you and I still got to get together. He says, on the EV topic, he sends me something from the Wall Street Journal. He says, one paragraph says, here's another one. EPA projects its rule will avoid 1 billion metric tons in CO2 emissions from 2027 through 2055, about as much emissions as from China and India rose last year alone. The truck mandate will do nothing to reduce global temperatures. Yeah, Mike, you're right. Brand new texter, Jeanette from ARAB. Jeanette, how are you? Glad you're in the text line. Says, hey, Phil, I bet most people do not know the charging stations are powered by, you guessed it, diesel fuel. By the way, I have that info on good authority since my husband works for an oil company. Listen, I'm not going to be a bit surprised. Every one of these things they charge. I mean, I remember watching a video of a city councilwoman who was extolling the virtues of the new charging stations they had put in front of City Hall. And the reporter said, where do you think the electricity comes from to charge the cars through your charging station? And she just stared blankly at him like she didn't know if it was a trick question. And he said, well, it's from a coal burning plant. I mean, and by the way, we had one of our listeners, and I can't remember who it was now. I wish he would remind me, but he basically called in. He is an expert. He's an engineer, and he had it down to a T, how much is required to just charge one vehicle. And it's like uncanny. And if liberals knew it, their heads would explode. But maybe they already know. They're charlatans. They already know their snake oil doesn't work. JT Lacey Springs, JT, I hate to tell you, brother, but your text broke up. We got the last three words, so I don't know what it's saying. Julie Ruff, got Julie Ruff up in Marshy County, says, I love my smartphone, but man, do I miss playing Snake on my Nokia. That is a flash from the past.
I do not miss texting on that thing, though.
Oh, yeah, where you have to find the letters and correspond. Yeah. You get to where you learn, though. John from Elkmont says, I read that the EV market's going to be worth $53 trillion by 2050. The plan is for the Bidens, the Gores, and the Kerrys of the world to siphon off trillions for themselves. Would not be surprised. Had nothing to do with saving the planet or creating jobs. Wow. Glenn from Madison says, long paragraph. I can't get to the whole thing. So I don't disagree with much of your monologue on EVs. I wish the U.S. government would just let the economy and our decisions drive the markets. My point exactly, brother. I'm not going to get to all of it, but it does end up by saying, the Bible assures me that only God can do what it takes to save the planet. Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate you. Jenny from Decatur says, is Biden driving an EV back and forth to Delaware every weekend, or is he going on Air Force One? Yeah. His carbon footprint is large. Devin from Brownsboro. My wife was in search of a van, came to me and told me she found one. When I asked her what it was, she told me it was a Nissan Leaf. I told her that would not work due to the fact that it was all electric. She questioned me as to why that was an issue. I asked her where the charging station was and how many there were in our area. She politely agreed with me for the first time ever.
Nice.
Devin, don't rub it in, bro. Just saying. Three men sitting here right now, all looking at the screen going, ooh, stop where you're gone. Just take the victory and run. Ron from Huntsville says, a caller on the Dan Bongino show yesterday is an EV car mechanic. Said these cars have the technology installed that can monitor your every move. I have no doubt. No doubt. I'll tell you more about that later on. Right now, though, coming back after the break, Butters and Lee. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.